Well, let's continue talking about manhood, what our calling is, and we're going to look today at the four faces of manhood. But let's review for a second, just a couple things. Manhood is in a state of confusion. We see that all around. Men do not know how to be men. And as a result of that, no lofty vision of manhood that is compelling seems to exist. And so as you think about that, God has called us to more. And he knows what a man is because he made men. And he has given us a high calling, a high and holy calling. And so let's just jump in this morning, today, with this idea of manhood's four faces. So face number one is the king, the king. This is a face reflecting righteous energy. It's doing right. So righteous energy. It's a face that's characterized by strong convictions, by courageous moral choices, by a servant spirit, by righteous leadership. It's the face of the king that when David hears the words from the prophet Nathan that you are the man who has sinned, he doesn't say, I did not have sex with that woman Bathsheba. He owns it. It's the person of integrity, as I think back on my father-in-law. And in Chicago, there are street signs that say, traffic signs that say, no left turn between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. because they don't want to bottle up traffic. And so we have to make a left turn, at least in my mind. I'm in the car with him. It's 6:45 p.m. We're just 15 minutes away from legally being able to make this turn. I don't see any policemen around. Let's just make the turn. And he looks at his watch and he realizes it's 6:45 and he just drives straight ahead and makes the right turns. It took longer, but he was going to be a man. He was going to be the king. He was going to have integrity. This is a face seen in scripture in Proverbs 4:18. It says, the path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of the day. It's seen in scripture in Proverbs 20, verse 7. The righteous man leads a blameless life. Blessed are his children after him. I love how Milton puts it. John Milton says, he who reigns within himself and rules passions, desires, and fears is more than a king. So let me ask you, as you listen to this, do you desire to have the face of the king with that righteous energy? Let's keep going on. The second face, face number two, is the warrior. This is the face reflecting conquering energy. It's going to accomplish something. It's going to be a person who does it. I'm going to finish on this diet. I'm going to lose the weight, or I'm going to get physically fit, or I'm going to finish college, or I'm going to, when I do a job, I'm going to do it well. I'm conquering. I'm in the tough mudder, and I'm going to finish this race. I'm going to compete in every obstacle that is before me. I'm going to conquer. It's that face of Michael Jordan, determined to win. It's not a destructive force. It's a positive force. So conquering energy is the reflection of that face. And it's a face characterized by initiative, by protecting, by providing, by persevering, by fighting. Are you a warrior? So first of all, are you the king? And then are you the warrior? The scripture here is 1 Timothy 6, 11 and 12. It says, but you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So let me ask you, are you desiring to be the warrior? Are you desiring to have that second face? Pat Riley, former coach of the Los Angeles Lakers, now is one of the leaders in the Miami Heat. He says this, each warrior wants to leave the mark of his will, his signature, on important acts he touches. This is not the voice of ego, but of the voice of the human spirit rising up and declaring that it has something to contribute to the solution to the hardest problems, no matter how vexing. So let me ask you, do you desire to be the warrior? Thirdly, face number three, the lover. This is a face reflecting romantic energy. This is a face characterized by tenderness, sensitivity, sacrificial care, emotional openness, physical affection. I love this letter. Ken Burns has his Civil War documentary, and there's a young soldier named Sullivan Ballou, and he writes his wife back in July 14th, 1861. He says, indications are very strong that we shall move in a few days, perhaps tomorrow. Lest I should not be able to write again, I feel compelled to write a few lines that may fall under your eye when I shall be no more. Our movement may be one of a few days' duration and full of pleasure, and it may be one of severe conflict and death to me. Not my will, but thine, O God, be done. It is necessary that I should fall on the battle for any country. I am ready. I have no misgivings about or lack of confidence in the cause in which I am engaged, and my courage does not halt or falter. I know how strongly American civilization now leans upon the triumph of government and how great a debt we owe to those who went before us through the blood and suffering of the Revolution, and I'm willing, perfectly willing, to lay down all my joys in this life to help maintain this government and to pay that debt. But my dear wife, when I know that with my joys I lay down nearly all of yours and replace them in this life with care and sorrows, when after having eaten for long years the bitter fruit of orphanage myself, I must offer it as their only sustenance to my dear children, is it weak or dishonorable while the banner of my purpose floats calmly and proudly in the breeze, that my abounding love for you, my darling wife and children, should struggle in fierce, though useless, contest with my love for country? I cannot describe to you my feelings on this calm winter, summer night, when 2,000 men are sleeping around me, many of them enjoying the last, perhaps, before that of death, and I, suspicious that death is creeping behind me with his fatal dart, am communing with God, my country, and thee. I know I have but few claims upon divine providence, but something whispers to me, perhaps it is the wafted prayer of my little Edgar, that I shall return to my loved ones unharmed. If I do not, my dear Sarah, never forget how much I love you, nor that when my last breath escapes me on the battlefield, it will whisper your name. Forgive my many faults and the many pains I have caused you. How thoughtless, how foolish I have oftentimes been. How gladly would I wash out with my tears every little spot upon your happiness and struggle with all the misfortune of this world to shield you and my children from harm. But I cannot, I must watch you from the spirit land and hover near you while you buffet the storms with your precious little freight and wait with sad patience till we meet to part no more. But oh, Sarah, if the dead can come back to this earth and flit unseen around those they loved, I shall always be near you in the garish day and the darkest night, amidst your happiest scenes and gloomiest hours, always, always. And if the soft breeze fans your cheek, it shall be my breath, or the cool air, Sarah, cools your throbbing temples, it shall be my spirit passing by. Sarah, do not mourn me, dear. Think I am gone and wait for me, for we shall meet again. Sullivan. And within a week, he was dead. So you think about what kind of lover you are. The scripture reference here is Ephesians 5:25. It says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." The last face is the face number four. That's the friend, the friend. This is a face reflecting connecting energy. It's a face characterized by loyalty, by accountability, by challenge, by fun. It's a face seen in scripture in Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Or Proverbs 27, verse 17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. It's the face of the words from Tracy Lawrence's Find Out Who Your Friends Are, where he sings, so listen to those lyrics. It says you run your car off the side of the road. You get stuck in a ditch way out in the middle of nowhere. You get yourself in a bind, lose your shirt, the shirt off your back. Need a floor, need a couch, need a bus fare. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where the cream is going to rise. This is what you really don't know. This is where the truth don't lie. You find out who your friends are. Somebody's going to drop everything, run out and crank up their car, hit the gas, get there fast, never stop to think what's in it for me or it's way too far. They show on up with their big old heart. You find out who your friends are. And then it goes on. I like these lyrics. It says, everybody wants to slap your back, wants to shake your hand when you're up on top of that mountain, but let one of those rocks give way. Then you slide back down, look up, and see who's around then. This ain't where the road comes to an end. This ain't where the bandwagon stops. This is just one of those times when a lot of folks jump off. You find out who your friends are. Last, we have some important observations about these four faces. All too often, these honorable faces of manhood are replaced by ugly caricatures. And because of our morally compromised culture, many men today lack a king. And without a king, the warrior becomes unrestrained, hurting lives, including his own in the process. Our increasingly feminized culture has emasculated the warrior in many young men. And the result has been the creation of the soft male that is indecisive as to direction, weak as to leadership. Our world is desperate for the four-face balance of real manhood. So as you look at the chart of the four faces of manhood, the king kept in place is where he ought to be. But if he goes one way, he becomes the abdicator. He goes the other way, he becomes the tyrant. The warrior in the parameters that are called for him, is what he ought to be. If he goes one way, he's the wimp. If he goes the other way, he's the destroyer. The lover, staying in the parameters, is what he ought to be. And if he goes one way, he's cold. He goes the other way, he's critical. And then lastly, the friend. He goes one way, if he leaves the boundaries that he's called to be a friend that he ought to be. If he goes one way, he's the loner. If he goes the other way, he's the loser. So let me ask you today, how are you doing in the four faces? Are you the king that you ought to be with righteous energy? Are you the warrior who is called to be one with conquering energy? Are you the lover who has romantic energy? And lastly, are you the friend who has connecting energy? We are called to a high and holy standard. Let's do it, guys.